Stephen Pettis Ministries is pleased to share this anointed, life-changing message with you, straight from the Word of God. We believe it will encourage you, build your faith, and be another step toward a better life of complete victory. So open your heart, incline your ears, and receive the rich, uncompromised Word of God. The message has just started. Let's listen in.
Revisit a subject that really can never be exhausted. Because this subject, it carries really so much weight in all of our lives. Now, I'm not sure what we're going to title this, but we're going to deal with renewing the mind. Let's go to Proverbs, the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, verse number 7. And it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, I've taught this for years. In essence, what he believes is where he'll end up. So now, many of us, we've heard, we've read this verse countless times, but this verse, this passage is such a valuable tool because it gives some explanation to how you became who you are. How you became who you are. In other words, your ways, your actions, and even where you're at in life is a result of how you thought and what got into your heart. So this says a lot. It kind of gives us some explanation to why we're at where we're at right now. It also says, not only have I become what I thought in my heart, but I can also change my thoughts. Amen. And then as a result, if I change my thoughts, I can change my life. Now, I've talked for years about this mind and heart connection. The mind is the control center, while the heart is the production center. The mind is, it's the house that conceives and carries every thought. It's in the mind where you create images, pictures, imaginations, as well as dreams. They are all within the confines of the mind. It's even through your mind where you carry your emotions. Amen. In that mindset, whether we call the emotion of love, hate, like, dislike, anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, all of those things operate within the mind. So it's the mind that's the control center. It kind of even tells you how you feel about certain things. You know, the mind tells you, I like Jamaica. I'm going somewhere with this. The mind says, I don't like the winner. Now, I know we think that's your body. That's not so. So the mind, it tells you how you feel about certain things and even people. See, we have thoughts about people, because and all of that is within our minds. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this. You know, I ever heard somebody say, I just don't like that person. I don't know what it is. You don't even know them, but I just don't like them. Now, where did all of that come from? It came from within the confines of the mind. You see, the mind is really like what a thermostat is to a furnace system. In other words, those of you who know anything about thermostats, whatever you program the thermostat to, the system is going to do. If you program that thermostat to 70, 80, whatever it is, eventually the system is going to follow that thermostat. Now, in the same token, you and I, we're going to function based on the programming of our minds. Now, we know that everything in life, it revolves around and it evolves out of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. You know, more or less, we have become what we've sown. Now, how does that work? Thoughts are things. Now, I've taught that. Some of you know that. Thoughts are things, but they're also seeds. Every thought you get is a seed. Whether it's positive or negative, it is a seed. So now, put that together, that the mind is the control center. You see, you decide what you're going to do with those thoughts, or you decide what you're going to do with that seed. Now, that's the mind. Now, the heart is the production center, or really the heart is the soil that really produces the harvest to that seed. That's why I stated earlier that there's a connection between the mind and heart. Our scripture is, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he becomes, or so he is. So they both work together. You can't alternate them. They both work together. The heart and the mind. The seed and the soil. So you see, thoughts are transferred to the heart. Or rather, when you transfer those thoughts to the heart, that's what causes manifestation. Now, we're still in Proverbs. Let's go to the fourth chapter of Proverbs. Now I know some of you already know that. As I say, this is something, you can't exhaust this. Fourth chapter of Proverbs, verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life. One translation says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. You see, the heart is the lifeline. Now, we know that from a biological standpoint, you know, with the heart, take the heart away, the body's dead. No one can live without a heart. You know. So the heart is the lifeline. What comes out of the heart will manifest in the flesh. So that's why he tells us to guard your heart. Now, what is it we got to guard our hearts from? We got to guard our hearts from thoughts that we don't want to come to pass. Because every thought is a seed. See, I know we just think thoughts are just whatever. See, some of you got seeds right now. Your thoughts are. So he's saying, listen, you better guard your heart, protect it. See, because that's the lifeline. That's the production center. See, what goes in that, when something goes in that, it's going to produce. So you need to guard this. See, because what goes in that can either make or break in your life. So you better guard, as we say, you better guard it with your life, because it is your life. Because what you allow to get in there is going to come out. See, it's the production center. It produces. You can't put something in the heart and it not produces. Just like in the natural. The ground or the ground, the soil produces. See, when you put seed in soil, it's going to produce. All right. So now, thoughts are not only seeds, thoughts are things. And if those things get sown into your heart, then the heart is going to produce those things. So now that's why I've got to guard it. See, because, you know, I think I said it last week about negative thoughts. It's been proven that we all experience a negative thought every 2.5 minutes. Depending on who you are, it's quite more often. Because if not all, I'm sure everybody here somewhere has some little negative thought has entered your mind since I've been up here talking. Even if you just temporarily got detached from the message. You all feel me? All right. So now, let's break it down some more. What is it that makes thoughts things? You see, because to every thought, there's an image or picture. You can't have a thought without an image. See, to every thought, there is a picture. You know, if you had a thought about food, there is a picture. Or an image of something. A hot dog, chicken, something. To every thought, there is an image or picture. And I've said this some time back that, remember, we don't visualize with our eyes. No, we don't. Images come from the mind. That's why a blind person has pictures and images. Because they don't come through the eyes. They come through the mind. You know, if that wasn't true, you can close your eyes and think of something. You're going to you see pictures. Those pictures are seen in the mind, not through the eyes. Hallelujah. You see, a thought, and I'm saying that on purpose, that why thoughts are things, because every thought, there's a picture, there's an image. A thought can start out as a flash of an image. You know how you think of something, you just get a flash or just an image real quick, you know, or just a little picture. But it can turn into a series of images. And then it will move from one thing to a host of things. That one thought will become a picture of things. That one thought can become like a movie in your mind. I know I'm right about that. You know, you have a thought about something, that thing keep going. It can start out just a flash, a quick, and then that thing, if you don't stop it, it just keep going, and it becomes an image. I remember years ago, somebody say years ago, I was going to tell one story. I'll kind of say a story we can all relate to. You ever had a thought when somebody said something bad to you, then you had a thought of what you should have said or what you know, you had this image of how you should have handled it. And then, you know, especially I go back to years ago, especially before saved. You know, somebody did something and then you later on think about it and you say, man, I should have did this. I should have said that. And then you recreate the whole thing in your mind, but a different outcome. You know that fight you lost? You know, and you recreate it in your mind. Boy, if I'd have said this or did this, you know. Or when you're in high school, the girl you didn't get because you had no game. But see, you're older now and you got game now. And if you can tell. All right. I figure the guys understand that. All right. It play in your mind like. Oh, my. Let's move off that quick. That was past. That was too real. That was too real. So the one thought, it can become a picture of things, you know. It's the same as what do you think a daydream is? You know, when you daydream, it's really you become so deep in those thoughts that you temporarily forget what's around you. You know, you kind of in a zone in the days, you daydream, and then you got to like, oh. You'd be so deep in that thought, somebody can take your wallet or your purse, and you're like, huh? Amen. That's even one of the many reasons what makes the mind so powerful. You see, the mind has enough power to detach you from reality. Now, I'm not going to get too deep in this, but, you know, when the doctors or psychologists or they'll say a person, they lost their mind. Now, the truth of the matter is you person can't lose their mind. But what basically happens is a person has allowed their minds to stay focused on a particular thing where they've just blocked out everything else. So one does not lose their mind. You don't lose your mind, but what happens is a person they've detached from reality, and they've become so focused on that everything else is blocked out. You know, it's just blocked out. That's how powerful the mind is. Amen. You know, that mind it can give. Imagine you know. Stuff can get in your mind and it could be real to you. And naturally, it's not real, but it's real to you. That's why when folks, their mind is really off or they still thinking they're in yesteryear that's where paranoia comes in. Folks, are they paranoid? They think of somebody following, somebody after them. You know. That's a paranoia when somebody thinks nobody like me. They over there talking about me. And that becomes real to you. See, the mind is powerful. You never underestimate or minimize the power of the mind. Mind has caused folks to do some crazy things. Pastor Laura and I talked about this recently. You know, and some folks... And I ain't coming against anybody, but you know, there are some religions that believe that the ultimate way to get to heaven is suicide. They believe that. Now, you and I, who we know that is as wrong as whatever, but they really believe that, and that's in their mind. That was part of the, and I'm going to say it, part of that 911 situation. You know, I know everybody said that was the devil. These folks, they believed in God and they thought they were doing a godly thing. Now, the mind. Now, how important is the heart? Now, if the mind houses your thoughts and thoughts are seeds, what happens to those seeds? They're sown into the heart. Now, remember, the heart is the soil that receives the seed. The heart is the production center. It's the production center that not only gives life to those thoughts, but it brings manifestations to those thoughts. See, it not only gives life to it, but it causes those thoughts to come alive or to be manifested. The heart is the lifeline. Now, we read Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Another translation to that verse says, keep vigilant, watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Young's literal translation says, above every charge, keep thy heart, for out of it are the outgoings of life. The NLT says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. Wow. See, that's why I say this whole Proverbs 23:7 is so powerful, because it gives explanation to why where I'm at now, but I can also change it. Oh my. So now, if the heart is the soil that can produce things in my life, then I need to protect and guard it like nothing else. So, for as he thinketh in his heart, you become what your heart received from your mind. And even before the outer manifestation shows up, you already have become what you received in your heart. See, because see, I've taught for years, this is an inner outer work. It's not an outer inner. It's an inner outer work. See, wherever you're at in life right now, you, whatever has manifested, you became that before the manifestation. That's like how some folks say, I don't know how this lust came out, because lust was in you. See, things don't just happen. And that goes with any and everything. Now, see, I'm stressing that because wherever you're at in life right now, you became that first before it was fully harvested or manifested. See, it's just like with the promises of God. The manifestation of healing, you became healed on the inside before the manifestation. Well, let me speak for myself. Before healing manifestation took place in my life, I was already healed inside. It's just a matter of the clot that the body, the physical body, would respond to the seeds that had already been sown in the heart. I got out of poverty before I actually saw some bills, dollar bill, you know. See, that was all that was in me, even naturally, when it was still food stamps there. So now, whether you're in a good place or not so good place, You can change it. Let's go to Matthew 12. Oh gosh, let me hurry. I know we're learning today. I know. See, because I've watched for years, and I mean years. I'm not that old, but I ain't no baby. And in this line of work, You get a lesson in advancement that no other will get unless you're in this line of work. You hearing things that normal folk don't. But I've watched for years people always blame, you know, situations or blame people all the time for where they're at. Where I can't go nowhere because, and I'm not saying some of those things didn't have some effect. But you can change it. See, I've said for years, you may start out one way, but that doesn't mean you have to finish that way. You know, I see old gray grown people still, you know, I'm this way because my daddy never took me to the ball game. Old gray goatee beard man still crying over that. An older woman still could my mama, she preferred Marsha over me. That's the joke, Brady Bunch, Marsha, never mind. And I'm not saying that perhaps was no truth to some of that, but you can control where you're going. And then in the religious circle and in Christianity, we can have it just as bad because we could believe, well, because we'll sing songs on it. What God have for me is for me. If God meant for you to get it, you're going to get it. And trust me, I learned years ago, no, that ain't true. It is the will of God, But if you don't know how to apply things, you ain't going to get it. Plus, you got a devil out there who's ready to steal, kill, and destroy. Somebody got tight on that. Ain't no, it's no fate. We can look throughout all the Bible and see great men and women of God who got out of the will of God and didn't finish what God told them to do. Now, the plan of God, remember, there's a difference in the will of God and the plan of God. God's plan is going to go on with or without you. You may be the first choice, but hey, you blow it, he's going to get somebody else. So his plan will go. But see, our will has to line up with his. If we don't line our will up, we ain't going. I say, is that true? I taught this years ago. Moses. Moses was supposed to go to the promised land. But because he struck the rock, God told him not to. Then God told him, hey, you're going to see it, but you're not going to go. Moses. The man who got him over the Red Sea. What did I say? All right, 12th chapter of Matthew. Verse 33. Jesus says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. You see, you'll always know the heart of a man by his actions. The fruit in your life is only evidence to what was sown in your heart. And Jesus is saying that right here. Listen, the tree is known by his fruit. I remember years ago they used to say in the church, you know, you can't judge me. Okay, now I ain't judging you. But if I see apples on your tree, don't tell me you're not an apple tree. Some of y'all choking on that. You ain't. I don't have to judge. I see apples on the tree. I wonder, is that an apple tree? Or is them pears? It's an apple tree. You know, I don't have to look at a watermelon and say, I wonder, is that a watermelon or a banana? Some of y'all choked on that. I said, come on now. You're no tree by the fruit.
We sincerely hope you enjoy this message from Stephen Pettis Ministry. If you are blessed and would like to sow a seed and become a covenant partner with SPM, feel free to contact us at 877-324-8497, prompt 6, or online at stephenpettisministries.org. If you would like this or any other message in its entirety, we'd also love to hear from you. Get ready for a better life.
I come to give you a better life.